Romans chapter 6. We'll be looking this morning at verses 14 to 23. Romans 6, 14 through 23. And I want to just begin. Many of you know the life story of John Newton, but the epitaph that was placed on his gravestone, I believe it was, said this: John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved and restored and pardoned and appointed to preach the faith that he long labored to destroy. Grace did not free him to serve no master, but it freed him to serve a new master. And this morning we're going to be looking at a change of masters. Change of masters. Last couple of weeks we've been talking about how sin no longer has dominion over us. We can have victory over sin as believers. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you can have victory over sin. And sometimes it's a struggle, and sometimes we get feeling, and I understand, sometimes we get the feeling, but Lord, I've tried and tried, and I still struggle. And sometimes it gets very frustrating, but the thing of it is this, is if God has promised us, if we truly know Him, we can have victory over sin. Why? Because we have died to sin, and we are alive unto God. We saw that 2 weeks ago. Last week, we noted that we need to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That means we need to agree with God. God, you said that was true. I've got to believe it and act upon that. And so we need to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. And then we need to let not sin reign in our bodies. He said, sin wants to control you. Sin wants to strangle you and master you. And he says, stop letting it do that. Don't let that do that. If you know Christ, you have the ability to say no to sin. And many times I pointed out last week that many times the reason we can't say no to sin is because we've passed the exit sign. You know, I pointed out the exit sign above our door here and said, you know, the scriptures tell us there in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, the exit door. And if you walk past the exit door and say, but I couldn't stop anymore, I can't do anything, yeah, you won't be able to stop sinning if you walk past God's exit door. But God says, I'll always provide an exit, and you can run. And I'm talking to me too, all right? I struggle too, just like everybody else. And we need to be careful, and we need to run from sin. So he said, start reckoning yourselves to be dead to sin. He says, stop letting sin reign in your body. And then he said, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. He said, don't yield yourself. Don't present yourself to Satan to be able to use you and your members, your hands, your ears, your eyes, your nose, your mouth, all of the things of your body that are your members. He says, stop letting the devil use those to perform what he wants. And you need to stand strong and do what's right and stop giving them to God. So that's what we've looked at in the past. That's just a little bit of foundation for us. But now, this morning, Paul tells us that we have a new master and that we need to live for that new master. Now, how can we do that? I want us to notice several things here that can help us dealing with our new master. With God as our new master, if you know Christ, your Savior. Now, folks, I must emphasize this. If you don't truly know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this isn't going to work. It only works if you really know Christ. But if you truly know Christ, your Savior, he says, the first thing we need to do is understand that we have a new master and we need to learn what he requires. Look at verse number 14. Verse 14 of Romans 6, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. All right? So he says here that sin will not have dominion over us. It no longer controls us. It no longer masters us. It no longer puts us down and says, you've got to obey me. Sin no longer has a master over us. And he says that we are not under the law, but under grace. Now, we are not concerned about living under the law. I mean, the Jewish people, some of the Jewish people that Paul was writing to would have said, yeah, well, are we under the law? Are we under grace? But what he's emphasizing here is that the law said, do this, do this, do this, or you die. And he said, we're not under that law, but we're under grace where God says, I have set you free. I've given you liberty. You don't have to sin. You can have victory. You can have freedom from this. You can be set free. And so he says, we're not under the bondage anymore. We have been set free. And that's a very important thing for us to see. Now, as our master, our new master, what does he expect from us? We see in verse number 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. He said, just because we've been set free doesn't give us the freedom or the liberty to do what we want. He says, that's not right. Can't do that. That's not the way God wants it to be. And then he goes on in verse 16, and he makes a very important statement. He says, know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, what is he saying there? He said, if you obey sin, then you're going to be a servant of sin. If you obey righteousness and God's way, then you're a servant of God. Now, here, I don't believe he's talking in this verse. I don't think he's separating saved and lost, although there is a truth to that. All right? He's saying there that if a person who is bound to sin and he continues to sin and he's a servant to sin and he obeys sin and he loves sin, he is a servant of sin. He's not one of God's children. But on the other hand, those who know Christ their Savior were no longer bound to sin. Now, he doesn't say here that we will never ever sin. I wish that was the case. I wish the moment I trusted Christ as my Savior, sin was done. Never sinned again. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. We still have our old sin nature. That old sin nature that was trying to pull us into sin before. But we don't have our sinful self that is slave to that. We've been set free. We've got a new man. And he says, because we have a new man, we do not have to yield to that sinful self. That sinful a nature that we have. The sinful nature is still there, but we don't have to yield to it. And so he's telling us here that if we, he said, if we've been truly born into God's family, then we are set free from sin and we don't have to obey sin anymore. We can be set free. And that is a wonderful truth, that we can be set free from sin. We don't have to follow sin. We don't have to obey sin any longer. A believer who obeys God is a servant of God and will receive servant of God and a servant of God's righteousness. Now, just a word of caution. And I kind of alluded to this, but I want to make sure we understand. God did not say that if you ever sin, that you are a servant of sin. All right? That doesn't make us a servant of sin. If you said something crossly yesterday and it was wrong, that doesn't mean that you're necessarily a servant of sin. All right, he's not saying that you lose your salvation. He's not saying that you've never been saved if you ever sin. But at the same time, the theme of the book of Romans was written to Christians. The theme of the book was the righteousness of God and how he wants to make us righteous and make us more holy and more sanctified. And so God's saying, what I'm trying to do in your life is to make you more like me. And I want you to become more Christ-like. And so that's the theme of the book. So with that in mind, Paul's not writing here and saying that if you sin, you are a servant to sin and you are not a Christian. He's not saying that. However, a person who loves to obey sin and dislikes obeying God is likely not a true Christian. A person who loves to obey sin and dislikes obeying God is very likely not a true believer. And we all have times when we sin. But if you look at your life, you look at the last week or the last month or the last year or the last 10 years of your life, and if it's been dominated by living a life that is just, I love to be sinful. I love those bad things I do. I love those bad things I say and the way that I live. And I like that. And I feel so like a fish out of water when I'm over at church and doing things. And these people that love God, I just don't feel comfortable with them. If that's the way you feel, there's a major problem. There's a major problem. And that's, he's not talking about that. All right. So he's not saying that a Christian that sins once in a while is a servant to sin. But he's saying there is a problem there. And what he's trying to do here is he's trying to say, we can get victory. We don't have to live over here in sin. And he's trying to drive that home to us. Why? Because we have a new master. And our new master has equipped us. He's equipped us. Now, Paul's readers were servants of sin in the past. Look at verse number 17. Verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were, and I highlighted that were in my Bible, ye were servants of sin. That's past tense. It's before. But he goes on, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. He said, you were servants of sin, but you have now become servants of God. You're servants of righteousness. You have trusted the Christ. You've received that doctrine delivered unto you. What doctrine is he talking about? Well, I believe he's talking about the doctrine of salvation. You've received the doctrine of salvation. You've trusted Christ your Savior. So if you truly have received Jesus Christ your Savior, you have been set free from sin. You were servants of sin, but you're not anymore. You're not a slave to sin. Christ made us free from sin. Verse 18, he says, being then made free from sin, ye have become servants of righteousness. He set us free from sin. Now, again, that doesn't mean I'll never sin again. It means he broke the chains of sin. I was bound to sin. I was chained to sin. And I couldn't do anything else. All the time I was constantly sinning. But he broke that chain, set me free, gave me liberty, gave me a new a life inside and a new desire to do right. He has set me free. I am not locked in and chained up and bound into prison with sin any longer. I'm set free. He says we become servants of righteousness. We've changed masters. God's righteousness has gripped us and has controlled our lives now. We are purchased by God and he set us free. Now, if you have believed the gospel with all your heart and repented and trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, to save you from the punishment of sin and hell, then this applies to you. This applies to you. He says we have a new master. We don't have to obey the old master. In fact, it's wrong for us to obey the old master. We need to obey the new master because we've changed jobs now. We're not in the same job anymore. We're over here. And you know, if you change jobs physically in our world today, you don't go back to the old boss and say, oh, I've just showed up. I just missed you guys. I decided I'd work for you today. It doesn't work that way. You don't work that way. You know, you've changed jobs. You got a new master now, a new boss. And so the same is true with us in our Christian life. And it's not right for us to go back. Now, that brings us to the second thought we find starting in verse number 19. And that is that God, as our new master, wants us to transfer our loyalties to him. Verse number 19. Now, this verse starts out, and it sounds a little bit awkward at the start, but let me explain it. It says, I speak after the manner of man because of the infirmity of your flesh. All right, now let me stop there and explain that. What Paul's saying is, I'm talking to you because in a human way, because I know that your flesh is weak. I know you're just like me. You still struggle with sin. You're having a hard time. I understand that. And Paul said, I'm talking to you in a human way like this because I know that that's where you're at right now. But he goes on and he says, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now, catch what he's saying here. He said before, when you were unsaved, you were over here serving, you were yielding your members as servants to unrighteousness and uncleanness and filthiness, and you were doing all kinds of filthy things in your life before you came to know Jesus Christ your Savior. And you know, the word uncleanness there refers to impurities of all different sorts. Would include things that affect our mind, our body. Now, things like pornography and lust and fornication and adultery and immodesty and flirting and drinking and smoking and ungodly habits and engaging and extravagant living and so on and so on. All of these lustful things of our old past. He said those are things, the uncleanness. And he said as we gave ourselves passionately to that. And some people, you know, not everybody was a passionate sinner, all right? But some perhaps of you were, you know, where, you know, you just really into it, you know. Some people are just, you know, they're wicked from all the way from top to bottom. I mean, they just jump right in full force. Other people just kind of dabble with it. But he says, just like you gave yourself to sin before with a passion to do those things, not only to uncleanness, but then he says to iniquity. The word iniquity means lawlessness. Anything that breaks God's law. That would include lying and cheating and selfishness and pride and gambling and unkindness and dishonesty and disobedience and blasphemy and stealing, and the list goes on and on. And if you have lived in that kind of a lifestyle, you could probably add to this list of other things that belong in that category. But the idea here is God says that just as we were passionate about sinful things and loving those things and the wickedness of the world and the rotten parties and the rotten lifestyles and the rotten living and all the immorality, all that kind of stuff, just as we gave ourselves to all that, he says now, with the same passion, you need to change loyalties and serve Christ with that same kind of passion. Serve Christ with the same kind of passion. You know, you stop and think about it. If we put our whole heart into living for God and living for His glory and living for His pleasure as much as we did for living for our sinful selfishness before, it would change our lives. That's what he's talking about. He said, I want you to passionately pour yourself into the new life that God has given you. He says, transfer those loyalties. Just as you offered your members as slaves to uncleanness and lawlessness, he said, that those things led to more lawlessness. And he said, I want you to, with the same degree, to offer yourself as members and slaves to God. Say, I'm going to give myself to you, Lord. I give myself to you. I want to passionately serve you with the same willingness, with a loyal pursuit of righteousness, and say, I'm going to study the Word of God. And I want to learn. And I want to stay close to God. And I want to keep my life clean. And I want to think clean and act clean and do right and be pleasing to God. Why? Because I'm going to give the same passionate emphasis on this than I did to over here. You know, many times we think, I just don't know why I can't have victory over sin. But we still, you know, we used to just passionately give ourselves to the bad things, but we just kind of casually say, well, yeah, God, please help me to be good today. God says, pour your heart into it. Give your whole soul to it. Say, I'm going to give you myself, my life, my members, all of it. I'm yielding to you, God, and yielding it to you for your glory. And he says that this, by doing that, notice the end of the verse, he says that it leads to righteousness and holiness. Righteousness leads to holiness. Sanctification, a clean life. The total opposite of before. The unclean life was over here that we were addicted to before. He says now it'll lead to a sanctified life, a holy life, a clean life, a life that'll please God and ultimately be helpful to you as well. You know, that is one of the great things about God. People may poke fun at God and make fun at Bible and religion and all that, but a person that truly knows Christ their Savior compared to a person who's living in the degradations of sin, there's no comparison. If you got a choice, you can be over here going to the pubs and going to the nightclubs and going all the wickedness and you come home staggering, you spend all your money and your family doesn't have anything and you live in poverty because you just spend all your money living on your filthy self. Or you could be over here living for God, rejoicing in the Lord. None of those hangovers, none of those sick nights, none of those immorality and all the wickedness. There's a whole lot better lifestyle over here. And God's just saying, that's what I want for you. That's what's good. That's good for you. And it's good to honor God. So I said, I want you to yield yourself to God and His righteousness. And it'll lead to a clean life set apart for God's service. Whole lot better than living over there in sin. Now, that brings us to the third point. And that is that with God as our new master, we must expect better wages. Look at verse number 20. He says, for when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. He says, when we were servants to sin, we had no righteousness. There was none. We were not righteous at all. We were wicked. We were filthy. All those wicked thoughts, those wicked actions, the wicked deeds, we were full of it. And we were not righteous at all. We were free from righteousness. All right? And he says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Yeah, what did that produce? Was there any good involved in that? Any nice things come out of that? Well, he says here that it was shameful. He says, wherever you now are ashamed. And the end of those things were death. You stop and think about that. What was the fruit? What was the wages of that kind of lifestyle? Great things like depression, guilt, heartache, sadness, fear, broken marriages, abuse, filthy minds, sexual diseases, emotional pain, waste, drunkenness, addictions, confused children, abortion, criminal records, And the list goes on and on. What a wonderful way to live, huh? God says there's nothing good about those wages. Those are bad wages. And he says that ultimately, what's the end result? Well, the end result, the end of those wages, what's it going to get us? Our retirement superannuation from over here? Death! What a way to end! Not just physical death, but eternal death, separated from God. He said, if you live over here, you get all those kind of wicked things, and those are things that are going to tear you down and break you down. And I know there's some nice people in our world that don't swim over here in all the wickedness. They're kind of teetering on the fence. But the end of theirs is still going to be the same. Without Christ, superannuation, retirement is going to be death, eternally. It doesn't pay. It doesn't pay. But look at verse number 22. He goes on, talks about our new wages and how wonderful they are. But now, being made free from sin. He said, we have been made free from sin. He set us free. We're no longer chained to sin. We can live in victory. We can have God's grace in our lives to help us. We have been set free. He says, you've made free from sin and become servants of God. And ye have your fruit unto holiness in the end of everlasting life. He said, now, what is our fruit? He said, the fruit now that we have as believers, if we're walking with God, the fruit that we have now is totally different. It's not the fruit that we used to have, that fruit of depression and guilt and heartache and sorrow. It's not those fruits, but we have new fruits, fruits of holiness and righteousness. We can live a holy life. We can live a sanctified life. Sanctified means to be set apart for God. And that is the ultimate life of joy in this life, to live a life that is set apart from God instead of being enslaved to sin. Far better way to live. A far better way to live. And we are not obligated to keep do those things that we used to do. We've been set free. You know, those sinful addictions that seem so strong, God says, I have set you free from those. You don't have to fall into those sins. You can have victory. You can have joy and have the fruit of righteousness and the fruit of sanctification and the fruit of holiness. And he says it leads to that. And it leads to that guilt-free, clean life of victory. Not only that, but what's he say about the fruits of the Spirit? Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He said those are the good things that will take place in your life if you're yielded to God instead of yielded to the sinfulness of this world. It's not worth it to live over there, folks. It's not. There's no good benefit of that. The fruits or the works or the pay that you get from that kind of a lifestyle is painful. It hurts. It's sad. It's heartbreaking. But he says the fruit and wages you get from living for God are righteousness and sanctification and holiness. And that is far better. He said that is the way we need to go. You know, one of the great things about God, God has set it up for this. He said, That's the way I want you to live. You're free from sin. You don't have to be there. You can be set free. But he says, listen, I know you're weak in the flesh. And I know there's times when you're going to trip on your face. And I know you're going to trip and fall. But don't stay there. You don't have to crawl back into the slime and live over there anymore. Don't stay there. What can we do about it? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is an awesome verse. When I sin, when I do something I shouldn't do, I can come to God and say, God, I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? Would you clean up my heart? Forgive me. And he will. He will restore my righteousness. And I can have the joy of the Lord like I had before because I've gotten right with God. And you can do the very same thing. And what's he say the retirement superannuation here is? Everlasting life. Over here, all they got to look forward to is having a fun time in this life and dying and going to hell for all eternity. What a life. Over here, he says you can live a victorious life. You don't have to be a slave to the sinful things of this life. You can be set free. You can have victory. You can have joy. You can have a life of holiness and righteousness. And the end of all that is everlasting life with God. That is amazing. Why would you want to live over there? Why not live over here? And so he set us free. And so remember, he's writing all this to Christians. He's saying, don't look back at the old way and say, oh, I wish I was back in there. That is not good. That is a painful way to live. That is a wicked way to live. That is a heartbreaking. And every one of us have been over here in the sinful side. And some of you have been over there more than others. And you've been over there long enough to see it hurts over there. It's painful over there. It breaks your heart over there. It tears you apart. It is not good. It's bad. But he says you need to get right with God and live over here in righteousness and holiness. And let God change your life. And then he ends the chapter with a verse that we often take out of context. He says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a summary of the whole chapter. The wages of sin is death. You go over here and live in here. The wages of this is eternal death. You're going to die and go to hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said that's the total opposite of over there. You don't want to be over there. He says the wages of sin is dreadful, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so by keeping that verse in its context, yes, it's a salvation verse. Yes, it's an encouraging verse. But it's a verse that describes the victory over sin. It's a verse that describes the fact that we don't have to live in sin. We can live victoriously. And so as we think about what he said here this morning, we've got a new master. And it all starts way back there at the foundation. Remember last week I put on the whiteboard up here the foundation at the bottom. That's where it's got to start. The foundation is salvation. If you have never yet truly received Jesus Christ, your Savior, I'm not talking about did you go to church, say a prayer, or, you know, get baptized as a kid or whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, have you ever come to the place where you said, God, I am wicked? Just like John Newton that we read about at the beginning there. John Newton was a wicked, wicked man. And God broke him when he came to the place and said, God, have mercy on me, I'm wicked. And he cried out to God, and God saved his soul, changed his life, moved him from sin to righteousness, and God made a great change. If that has never happened in your life, something's wrong. Maybe that's where you got to start. Maybe you just need to go back to the beginning, the foundation. Make sure that you have repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And once you've done that, then he says, I have set you free from sin. You are no longer bound to sin. You do not have to sin. You're not a slave to that. You've been set free, and you need to yield yourself as a servant of righteousness unto God. Just with the same passion as you used to yield yourself unto the filthy things of this world. Give yourself to God. You know, some of you this morning may need to just say, God, I'm tired of playing, sitting on the fence. I need to get busy and passionately give myself to doing right. And pour my heart into doing right instead of just playing games with God. God doesn't want us to play games with us. He says, I want you to pour your heart into it. I want you to give me the same passion that you had for sin. I want you to give me that same passion for doing right. Pour your heart into doing right and living for God. Get your Bible out and dust that thing off and read it. Spend time in it. Get on your knees before God and say, God, would you please keep me from sin and guard my heart and cleanse me and clean up my life and help me to be what I ought to be. Just beg God to give you revival. That's what we need. We need to learn what our new master requires. He requires obedience. He said, I want you to obey me. Quit obeying sin. Obey me instead. And he said that we must transfer our loyalties to him. Same loyalties we had for sin, we need to now put them over on Christ and say, I'm going to give you all of my loyalties. I'm going to be passionately loyal to you. And then we need to expect better wages. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. And the wages of living in that ungodly state is painful and sorrow and a hurt and heartache. And we all know about that all too well. But the wages of living for God our righteousness and holiness and everlasting life. He says, it's a whole lot better over here. It's a whole lot better over here. And so I challenge you this morning, wherever you're at with God this morning, some of you may not know Jesus is your Savior. That's where you need to begin. This morning is the time you need to say, I'm tired of putting it off. I'm going to get it right with God. I want to get saved and make sure my soul is ready to meet God. Deal with it today. Others maybe you've drifted away from God. And you need to just get a hold of God and just say, God, I need 1 John 1:9. I need to confess my sins, all of them. And I need to stop living over there in the sinful side. And I need to get over here living in righteousness. And I now want to start passionately pouring my heart into growing and being all that God wants me to be instead of playing games with God. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. Whatever it is that God has for you this morning, I challenge you, don't put it off. Let God have His way. Let God have His way.